Welcome to the March 22nd, 2020 meeting of Hope Bible Church. We realize that this is not our standard format, having this be more of a virtual service today, but we really hope that you're encouraged, you're able to worship in the midst of it. So we're going to begin by having a scripture reading, and we will pray together before we have our message by Pastor Hogan. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do come before you this day that you might be lifted up, that we would be men and women of God, who righteously proclaim the glory of God that has come to us in Jesus Christ, the great exchange, our sin for your righteousness, that we might come into the presence of the Almighty, Holy God, who is the creator of the ends of the earth and all that's in it. I ask that you would open our hearts and minds that we might worship you today and listen with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to love you and to love others, especially in this time when there are opportunities for us to show love to those who are in need at this time. Help us to be alert. I pray that the message that Steve shares with us today will be one that will spur us on to love and good deeds. In the name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.
Hi, my name is Steve Hogan. I'd like to welcome you all to Hope Bible Church. Of course, this is not the way you usually see me here. Those of you here are in Tampa, Florida, but indeed times have been changing these last month, and important that we have a time like this where it's our virtual service. Indeed, a lot has happened. Things have changed like I have never, ever seen in my life before. And it's imperative that we understand really what God is saying, what he is doing in our lives and really around this world. So I had a number of things I wanted to share, but I'm sure all of you have been seeing these things. You watch TV, you look at things on the internet, and whether it's a school closing or a job closing, quarantine, shutdown, social distancing, so many things are taking place. It really is unbelievable. I just want to share a few things about what's been taking place with respect to this coronavirus pandemic, then get into a number of thoughts that the Lord has given me that I want to pass on to you. And the first thing is if you recall last Sunday, I mentioned that we're really at a sort of a really slow climb up with regard to this graphing of this pandemic. And I said, when it starts to go up, that's when we'll know that things are really happening. Well, that has taken place this last week. The number I'll share with you is last week at this time, there's 50 people that had died in this country. Now there are about 300. And so things have gone up 6 times in 1 week. The question is, will it go up another 6 times in the next week? That will be 1,800 or 10 times will be 3,000 people that have died in the United States so far. So we are on that upward climb. The whole question is how fast will it go up and how high will it go before it peaks? And we just don't know that. And so we do know this. We're having this virtual service today and probably again next week and very likely the week after. We don't know, but sometime I would assume in April is when this little graphing the pandemic will peak and start coming down. But this again is a unique time, a different time. And we all know this, and just to pass a couple things along to you, is that the elderly are the ones who are most affected, and ones with ailments, they can be younger, somebody with an ailment, that it's much more difficult, this pandemic, on them. But for all of you, we need to be doing what the government health officials instruct us to do, to keep our distancing from others, because this is a very, very contagious type of disease. And even though you might be young, it may not even affect you much, you may be asymptomatic, you can still be a carrier. And that's what's important to understand, particularly for those of you who are young, that you may not get very sick, but you could pass this on to somebody else, and it could really affect them in a big way. So I just want to encourage you with that, to be listening, following the guidelines of the government and other health officials, because they really do know what they're talking about with respect to this. And so anyway, I just want to pass that on to you. And just keep praying. Pray for our leaders in the country, President Trump, Vice President Pence, and so many other officials, governors of states, our governor here in Florida, Governor DeSantis. And just be praying for the health officials and others, so many involved in trying to slow this down and to stop this and to prevent this from getting worse. And it's affecting, of course, as you know, people all over the globe, and not just this country. But it is getting worse. We see that. I mentioned this graph going up. And again, how far and how fast and how high, we really, really don't know. But there's no doubt about this. God is using this to humble each of us individually, because it's changed our life. It's changed what we do. For some of us financially, a lot of you out there, big ways. And we didn't even know what's going to happen there, but we trust God that He's going to use this again for His purposes and glory. So I want to just share a number of points, but I want to start off. I was listening to Governor Andrew Cuomo from New York the other day. He said something I thought was very instructive. He said this. He says, "We are fighting a war on two fronts. We're fighting the virus and we're fighting fear. And in many ways, the fear is more danger than the virus." I completely agree. My role as a pastor as to what to do with this physical virus is minimal. That is, my wife and I, we're to do what we need to do. But I also want to encourage you then to do, as I mentioned before, what you need to do to keep this in check as much as possible, protect yourself and your family, the loved ones who are around you. But as to fear and panic, which is spiritual in nature, this relates to me, directly to me. And I want to share with you a number of truths and thoughts that really, I believe, are important for you to understand. And a number of truths from God's Word that I believe will help you to be a stronger a Christian, a more effective Christian, and really the days and months. And I believe this will have a lifetime impact. We'll look back in March and April of 2020 and maybe May and say, look what happened at that time relative to our own personal lives, to the church, and I believe this country and the world at large. But again, 12 points I've got here. I'm just going to go briefly. But I want to go over these, and I think they're all relevant. But the first one is do not fear. As you all know, the human tendency for any kind of difficulty, this pandemic here, is fear. We can get anxious, we can get worried, we can be afraid. That's pretty normal. And in some ways, it's not wrong. It's God's given us this fear factor is a way to alert us to particular danger there is. But God doesn't want us to be ones that are given over to it or given to the fear. He doesn't want that. It says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the God of all grace and will give us that peace that surpasses all comprehension. So God doesn't want us to be afraid. He does not want that at all. Verse after verse in the Bible, and I need to look it up, but the phrase that says, do not fear, for I'm with you, appears so many times. Verses about how we're to trust God with our fears. We are to seek Him. The verse in Psalm 34, verse 4 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. And so, for myself, for my wife, we have different fears. We have to trust God with them. Each of you need to do the same. It's a personal thing. Fear is very personal. It's in the heart of each soul, and God wants to help you not to be then one who is anxious. So remember, God's our Heavenly Father. We are His children. He will take care of you. He will take away your fears. He wants to give you peace and joy in the midst of this pandemic. He wants to give you all the strength and courage that you need to live in the way that He wants at this time in history. This verse, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and nor let it be fearful. In fact, I was talking to Raphael from Bethel Church, and we're thinking of having this verse placed on a banner so people all over the neighborhood can see it as they drive by. This verse is for them as well. First, do not fear. Secondly, God is sovereign. That is, God is completely in charge, which means this coronavirus and the pandemic is not an accident. It was ordained by God. He knew all along. It did not catch him by surprise. It says in Lamentations chapter 3, who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and evil go forth? Very clear. Difficult concept to understand how God is sovereign over evil, but he is. And this is an evil situation that's taking place here, no doubt about it. Then who are we then to argue with God? He knows what he's doing, but might we be humble before him? And again, know that he's totally in charge. He's completely in control. And he does whatever he pleases, whatever he wants, for his purposes and for his glory. And of course, always for our good. You know the verse in Romans 8:28, which says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. And the days and months and maybe even years ahead, we'll be able to look back and see more clearly why God is doing what he is doing these months, March, April, and May of 2020. Why? And how it relates to our personal lives, our church here, our families, as well as what he's doing in this country and in the entire world. Third point is being thankful. This is very important. Be thankful that you are saved. Be thankful that you are God's child. Because this is what's most important. Sometimes we get so occupied by the smaller things of life. Be thankful that you're saved, that you're a child of God, that you're forgiven, that you're born again, that someday you'll be in heaven in glory with God and Jesus Christ and forever and ever. But also be thankful for what he has given you on this earth. As you probably can tell, maybe out shopping in many stores, it seems like people are in panic mode trying to store up things, stock up things. We don't need to be afraid. We need to know that God has given us all the food we need. We will probably all have shelter and clothing, provisions, and whether you have a job or not at this time, God will take care of you. But be thankful for what he has given you, spiritually also, then physically. And then be thankful that no matter what happens on this earth, sometimes we can think worst case scenario, what's going to happen? Am I going to die? Am I going to get sick and get infected? Are my loved ones going to, something happen to them? We need to know that if we are believers in Christ, there's nothing to fear. In fact, to be honest, the best thing that can happen is we could die. Then we'd be in heaven, just be accelerated, and that's probably a good thing. It says, of course, you know the verse, Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. This verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5 about thankfulness. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so I can't emphasize this enough, the importance of you being thankful for this situation. Again, our flesh isn't going to like it. Our pattern, our behaviors, our things have changed. Our routines changed. Maybe our job situation has changed. Our finances have changed. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful because, again, God's in control. He knows what he is doing. Fourth point is your relationship with God. And, of course, this is the single most important thing in life, having a relationship with God. This is so good that you have this relationship with him. It's called, defined in John 17:3, it's defined as eternal life. This means that God loves you. This means that God cares for you. It also means that you know that he is powerful, that he is wise in what he is doing, that he is good in what he is doing. He is faithful with you and your life and your family, and he's perfect. And he's perfectly dealing with you in this situation. That is, God never makes mistakes. So understanding the truths of God and the character of God and how this relates to the relationship that he has with you is really, really paramount. It means knowing through the Spirit that God is with you. It means spending time with God. This is so important. Again, we'd be so busy. Might you spend time with God? In fact, during this slowdown, I would assume you have more time. And take that extra time to spend time with God, to read his word, to pray, to be praying for your life and for your friends and family. Pray for Bruce and Steve, myself, for the church here. Pray for the church at large. As I mentioned before, pray for the leaders in this country and around the world. So important. This relationship, it means like Enoch, walking with him every day, trusting him, doing what he wants you to do. It means like David, seeking him and crying out to him. It means like Mary. We read about her in Luke chapter 10 and how she was sitting at the Lord's feet. She was listening to him and enjoying him and learning from him. It says there in Luke 10, it says, Martha had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to His word. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Again, I want to say this. Please, I encourage you, for your life, for your good, for God's glory, His purpose, get time with God. It will be that which strengthens your spirit and soul. It will encourage you. It will help you during this time to have God's perspective, His truth in your heart, filled with the Spirit, so then you can be and do all that God wants. With that, number four is your relationship with God. Number five, then, is your relationship with others. You're to love God first. As Mark 12, 30 and 31 says, you're also to love others. That is, your relationship with other people is very, very important. At this time as well, God wants you, of course, to be in a good church and be close to other believers. He wants you always to be ones, I'm talking every day of the week and now this time as well, to be learning from Him, to be growing with Him, to be learning from others as well. And God then wants you to be with others for their good. That is, we're not just here for ourselves. We are here for others, for their good, so they can learn, so they can grow, so you can help encourage them, share verses or promises, just how God then has helped you. Being with others is so, so important. This present crisis, which is sort of strange or weird, however you want to say it, during this time we're encouraged not to gather together. We have this social distancing. Might God help us to be communicating with one another? You all know this. We live in a day and age where, man, there's no reason not to be in touch. We have the phone and we have email and text and Instagram and Facebook and many other ways of being in touch. It used to be 100 years ago, it was just a letter. And then they got the telegraph, you know, but we have so many ways to be in touch. So I encourage you to stay in touch with others. I mean, my prayer really is during this time of social distancing, might we relationally and spiritually grow closer than ever before? And this can happen. And so it's imperative then that we are in touch with one another, that we encourage one another, and that we put ourselves in situations where we can be encouraged, where there's that mutual benefit of our relationships. The verse in Hebrews 3 says it well. Encourage one another day after day. You know, we meet in church once a week, okay, sometimes twice a week for some of you. Day after day is important. I'd make it a goal every day to be in touch with somebody, every day. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I'm not going to explain that here, but the point is, if we're not encouraging one another, we can much more easily fall into sin. And you don't want that, and God doesn't want that, and you don't want your family that to happen. So anyway, encourage one another day after day. Next one, number six, is know God's promises. I couldn't make it without God's promises. I feed on God's promises every day. I think about God's promises every day. And during this time, and especially during hard times, we need God's promises. And you need God's promises. It's like food and nutrition. You have to have your vegetables and your fruits. You know, you just can't eat protein. You got to eat fruits and vegetables too. You need God's promises. They are an essential part of your spiritual diet. They really, really relate to your future. A few, some of mine that I like, Psalm 32:8, I will lead you in the way you should go. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. Romans 8:28, which I just mentioned, God works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purposes. 1 Corinthians 1:8, 9, I love this one too. He'll keep you strong to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's Hebrews 10:37, which says, for yet in a very little while He who is coming will come and not delay. There's so many promises, and if you recall, you might have read this, but I did a post. It was number 146, I believe, that talked about many promises. Might be, I don't know, 100 promises in that little sheet there. But go to post on a blog, my blog site, ChristKingdom.org, and number 146, you'll find a number of promises right there. But let me finish this section with one of my favorites. You've heard me say this many times, benedictions and things. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's number six. Know God's promise. Number seven, do God's work. Something happens during fearful times, during scary times. We often retreat. Our own little life, our own little house, and just our own little things. We focus on our lives, and you know what happens? We forget God's plans. We forget God's works. I really want to stress this with you, that during this time when you're thinking about yourself, and you're in your hunkered down in your home maybe, but be thinking about God's plans, the work that He still wants you to do. You remember that God has gifted each of you who are believers in a specific way so that you can then carry out the special work that He has for your life. This work, of course, relates to two main things, to the church, to building up the church, to encouraging the church. And some of you got the email from us last week, the one another's, a whole list of one another's, love one another, accept one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. Practice those one another's. And we can still do that on the phone and our emails. We can communicate with one another's in a loving way. In fact, it's and one more then, we are to love the believers, but also love the lost. And during difficult times like this, during what's called dark nights, we're to let our light shine. And oftentimes, you know this, the light shines brighter the darker the night. And oftentimes, is when it's really dark, I'm talking spiritually speaking, and a person who's an unbeliever sees our life, they're affected. Why is that person encouraged? Why is he still positive? Why is he still smiling? Why is he still happy when things are so hard? And they see that, and they may even ask you what's going on. It's a time then where you can do God's work in that way by helping others. So during this trial, and always, because I said before, we can tend to be self-focused. We can tend to retreat back into our own little world. Make sure that during this time, put God first. Matthew 6:33 sums it up well. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. A few verses earlier, I think it's in Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10, it's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And a couple of verses later, then it says, and pray for your daily needs. Pray for this, our daily bread. So you see what's first is God's kingdom and then our own needs. So the priority of what's first in our lives is important. God is always first then. Next, number 8, God is working. Sometimes we are so occupied by our work, by what we're doing, we forget God and we forget that He is always working. My number one verse in this is from John chapter 5, verses 17, and Jesus is talking. It says, my Father is always working, and I too am working to this very day. It's wonderful to know God is always at work, 24/7. He never sleeps, always doing what He wants to do. And He's working in us and through us. You know the verse in Philippians 2 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you to work and to will for His good pleasure. So always know that God is working in you. And I believe during this special time in your life, this special time in history, He wants to do some special things with you. So be attentive to God, to the work He's doing in you. But of course, you know what He's doing too. He's working in every person's life. He's working in every city, every country. There's no doubt about that. And I believe that, I personally believe that God's using this present pandemic to globally restructure things in this world, economically, countries. He really is. He's working in ways that we really can't imagine, working in ways that relate to His purpose and His work here in the end times, working in ways that no doubt relate to the return of His Son to rapture the church. So God is at work. This verse, one of my favorites on this, Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 says, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. Knowing then that God works all things after the counsel of His will. This present situation, this present pandemic, this global pandemic is all working. It's all working together for what He wants to do, whether it's your life or whether it's in the entire world. With that then, number 9 is related to number 8. Number 8, God is working. Number 9, Jesus Christ is building the church. You all know this, that since the day of Pentecost, which is about 2,000 years ago, Christ has been building the church. And it's what He's continued to do all through the years, day after day, week after week, year after year. Christ has been building this church, and He never takes a break, even though we take breaks during this pandemically induced slowdown or shutdown. We might slow down, we might stop working, we might take breaks. God doesn't take a break. He is still working. As a pastor, I'm regularly thinking about what I should do for the church. It's on my mind every day of the week that I'm thinking the church and praying for the church. And now I'm at home more. It's different. I'm not out with people as much. I'm still on the phone, still in emails, but just not with people. It's very strange for me. This is, again, a unique time in all of our lives here. But I can sometimes think, well, doesn't the church need me? And it doesn't take long. I know what God's like. He doesn't really need me. You know, He can use whomever. He can do whatever He wants. And apart from me, He can build a church just fine. So that helps me. to know that God's going to build a church regardless of what happens. I don't know exactly the numbers, but I would assume that 99% plus all the churches in the country they're not meeting today. I would assume that's the way it is. But God's still working. His work's not stopped. He's still going to build a church, whether the government shuts down the country or tells us not to meet or whatever. The church is still being built by the Lord. And so we should always be trusting God as He's building the church, believing that Jesus Christ then is building the church in the way that He wants. He says in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower. You know, I could think at this time the devil's probably pretty excited. Hey, church isn't meeting today. Man, we got the whole country shut down with church. Not having church that is, but God's doing what He wants. We can trust Him for that. Next point, number 10, prophecy and the pandemic. How do they relate? Luke 21:11. I wrote a post on this a couple weeks back. I believe it's numbers 158 and 159. You might want to read those. But Luke 21:11 says that in the beginning stages of the end times, there will be, quote, great earthquakes and in various places, plagues and famines. That word plagues in that verse 11 appears only here in this section of verses relative to the prophecies related to the end times. And so we all know this. I believe we are in the end times now, a time that began when the Jews were gathered back to the land in the 1880s. But since that time, there have been earthquakes, there's been wars, World War I, World War II, all kinds of wars. There have been earthquakes and great earthquakes. There's been famines. And now we have this plague. And, of course, there's been many plagues. I mean, the Spanish flu of 1918 that took 50 million people. Ebola crisis or SARS, H1N1, 10 years ago, took 13,000 people in this country alone. So this has always happened. So we now have this plague, the coronavirus, that has plagued much of our world. But again, we're only at the beginning stage. And this is what I need to tell you. And you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to say it because it's the truth. There'll be more plagues. There'll be more famines. There'll be more earthquakes. There'll be more wars because, like birth pains, which increase in intensity and frequency, they will continue on. And they are a sign from God to us that His coming is getting closer and closer. So I hope you see this because what God's really wanting to do, He's wanting to wake us up. I mentioned this last Sunday. I'll say it again. It's like the alarm clock. This alarm clock is this pandemic here, and God says the alarm was ringing. You Christians, wake up and do not hit that snooze. Don't go back to sleep. Don't you realize that I am the one behind all this, and He's trying to wake us up as Christians for a reason. I believe He's trying to wake up the unbelievers to salvation. And I wouldn't doubt that many are still sleeping, but He uses this like a spiritual alarm clock. And so God has this pandemic. He's planned it. It's to increase your faith. Understand that. This is for your spiritual growth, which is really an encouraging thing. We sometimes think of how things can annoy us, particularly trials. But we must always realize, hey, this is trial is for my faith. It says that in James 1:2. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that it's for the testing of your faith. And so please understand, this is to increase your faith, this is to increase your character, this is to help you be a stronger Christian, so that in the days ahead and the months ahead and the years ahead for the rest of your life, you're a stronger Christian because of what God is doing at this time in your life, at this time in history. So please remember that. And so times, I said, will get tougher the closer we are to Christ's return and the rapture of the church. That great verse in Ephesians 6, that relates to spiritual warfare, but we can see it here, it relates to this here. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. A phrase that appears many times, because if we don't have the Lord, we're weak. And you know this for yourself, you know this in your own flesh, many different times, trials, and you get weak and you feel discouraged and you're fearful and you have no use to anybody. We need to go to the Lord. That is, again, is a humbling situation. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. It goes on to say, then put on the full armor of God so you may stand firm in the evil day. That's what He desires for us. Number 11, share the gospel. Tell people that their biggest problem is not the coronavirus, but their sin. And that what's most important is not surviving the coronavirus, but being saved from sin and the result of sin, which is spiritual death, physical death as well, but also eternal death, which is being apart from God forever and ever. Tell these people that don't know Christ and tell them gently and kindly. You don't shove it down their throats. You'd be very patient and kind. Tell them about Christ. Tell them, though, first they need to realize they've sinned against the holy God. The solution to our sin and our death is that God sent His own Son down to this earth about 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect life. Then He had His three ministry years. And the end of those 3 years, He went to the cross. And His purpose for being on the cross was to take the sin of people in the world upon himself. At that time, his father punished him in ways we can never understand. Jesus says, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? He was being forsaken because God was at that time punishing him for our sin. That's what was happening. So he was punishing his father for our sin. That's what took place there. It says in Corinthians, God made him who knew no sin to be sin so that we might become righteous in him. So Christ then died for our sins and then rose from again, evidence that he was victorious over both sin and death. And so what do we need to do? What do we do about this? Well, it's very simple. Just two things. We repent, which means you're sincerely sorry. You tell God that you're sorry that you've sinned against him because what you've done is wrong. And secondly, you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ died for you. It's a personal thing. I remember years ago, back 45 years ago, when I became a Christian, the early 70s, back in Ames, Iowa, I remember that one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. It was a personal thing. That's when I realized for the first time, this is personal. God loves me, and God had his son die for me, and all my sins were placed on Christ when he was on the cross back 2,000 years. It's a wonderful thing. And so it's telling God you're sorry and believing him, putting your trust completely on him, not in yourself. It's not by what you do, not by your works, but what Christ does alone. The result then is just forgiveness. Become a child of God, and someday then, and again, in terms of history and life, because our lives are but a vapor, you will then be in heaven, and won't be that long from now. Finally, have hope. The coronavirus is a trial. It's a very big one at that. And one way to get through this trial is to know that life's going to get better. As it's often said, there's light at the end of the tunnel. That God has a magnificent future for you. And when really I'm talking about the heaven, that which is reserved, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, reserved in heaven for you. This is what we call hope, and you need this hope, this God-given guarantee that you will be in heaven someday in a perfect body with God the Father, with Jesus Christ his Son, and also with all your loved ones and all your other friends who are on earth that are believers as well. You can't imagine, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. So this hope is very, very important for you to have this, to know this. And so might you then see this big picture, that yes, you have earthly problems. But as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, they're momentary light afflictions that result in eternal weight of glory. Earthly problems then in God's scheme of things result in eternal blessing and glory in your life. It's a wonderful thing. So Christ is coming soon. Then you'll be in heaven and on earth with him and all the other believers. A wonderful thing, this truth, to know this. And so think about this. And understand this and believe this. Again, a number of things we talked about just very, very briefly here. I'd encourage you to go over these points here and ask God to speak to you. Because again, God's trying to teach us. Trials are always teaching times. Times where he's trying to teach us lessons for our lives and we can tell and teach others as well. I want to finish by reading Psalm 46. Psalm 46, I believe it relates to the end times. There's two particular, global calamities taking place here, earthquakes and wars, and you'll understand that as I read this, but it tells us how to think about the present and also the future. It says in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Encouraging. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to look at your word, Lord, to look at things from your perspective. We live in a world and we can watch TV or see things on the internet, and boy, it can be scary. And I tell you, after watching news, it's not like you're more encouraged. We need your truth. Father, we need you, your word, your spirit to help us, each one of us here. Help us to see, God, that you have planned this. This is part of your purpose for what you want to do. Help us to see that you were not caught off guard. You want to use this for our own lives and our families, our friends, and also here for our church and the church around the world and people all over the world, both saved and lost. So we commit this to you, Lord. I pray that you help our little church here. Lord, help us so that we don't get sick. None of us get sick, Lord, that we are encouraged and we are encouraging one another, Lord, that you'd use us again for your purpose, which wanted to keep us again safe. Help us, Lord, financially, other difficulties we might have at this time. We pray that you'd help us in every way, but help us again to remember to seek first your kingdom, knowing, God, that you will take care of us as we put you first. But thank you, Lord, again for your great love, your kindness, your mercy this time now today to look at your word and your truth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just share a couple more thoughts here briefly. This message, of course, is available online, and I'd encourage if you want to pass it on to others, and you can easily do that, just email them, let them know how they can find it. Next week, we are again planning to have a virtual service like this, probably the next week after that. We just don't know how long. We'll evaluate things week by week, but for sure next week, and I don't think things are going to get better by then, so we will be back here. And so continue during that time to be encouraging one another and pray. We're praying for you as pastors. We do miss you, Bruce, Steve, and I. We would love to see you, but this is the way it is. Shake hands and all those other things. We cannot do that, but we do miss you. We do love you. We are praying for you, and pray for us as well that God would lead us during this time. We are, the three of us, in regular communication. So I just want to share that. And again, feel free to call or email Bruce or Steve or myself. But again, stay well, but mainly stay strong in the Lord. That's the thing I want to share with you. Thank you.